Hello and welcome to Say What, where we talk about the things that make us say what.
I'm Marianne.
And I'm Cassie. Today we are interviewing Miss Evelyn Dustin and Mr. Kent.
About G6 and G7.
So, hi guys, and thanks for joining us today.
It's good
Welcome.
to be here. Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you too. So, first, we have a few getting to know you questions.
Do you think you guys would survive a zombie apocalypse?
Sure.
Even believe in him, so I think I could.
Why do you think you would survive, Mr. Kent?
Same reason as Evelyn. I don't believe there are zombies. Therefore, that could never happen.
I don't either.
But it's fun to think about it. What part of a driver's test do you think you would most likely fail, or at least do poorly in?
That has to be backing up because I depend far too much on the backup camera anymore.
I know I would be terrible at parallel parking.
Yes, that seems to be a very common answer. Thankfully, now they have these cars that will like parallel park for you, so that's
Well, yeah, but
interesting.
I don't think they're allowed in tests. That kind of defeats the purpose.
Oh, yeah, true. Do you guys ever talk to inanimate objects?
Like an electronic or I don't know, a book.
All the time. It's scary when they answer you back.
Miss Evelyn.
Oh, yeah, I yell at them all the time. They jump in front of me and they get in my way. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely do that all the time. Like, we'll go on a walk every day and, like, I'll trip over the same route every single time. And yeah, I definitely shout at it then.
So, if you could have any pet in the world, what would it be and why?
I would have another yellow lab dog because I have had many dogs. I have had many Labradors. And to me, a yellow lab, they are just the most friendly. They are great with families. They are great with kids. They are great with just the way they are. I mean, it's their nature to be friendly and giving and loving. And, they're always I do like cats, but a dog is different. They're there, it's I've got a coffee cup that says, I want to be what my dog expects me to be.
Aww.
Well, I have cats, outside cats, and the advantage is if I'm gone a lot, I don't have to worry about them needing to take a walk or any of those kinds of things. My son lives next door, he takes care of her when I'm gone. But for the most part, they're pretty independent and they will come sometimes you call them, but not always. And they are only under my feet when I don't want them to be. So that's probably what I would.
If I couldn't achieve getting a bird, then I want a snake, which because snakes are low maintenance and actually are surprisingly loving.
Evelyn knows this. I have a bird. His name is Bailey, and he's pink and gray. Or actually, the color
Oh.
is actually fuchsia, but he's pink and gray.
And he
Interesting.
talks.
And he talks.
That's really cool. So we want to ask you guys some questions about your bio, starting with Miss Evelyn. You worked in Honduras for 3 months. What was that like?
I have been out of the country several times, but I have never been in such poverty as it was there. We were at La Buena Fe, you know where that is, and the people there live on $100 a year. That this was back in the 70s, so maybe it's changed. The children, for the most part, didn't wear any clothes until they were 6 or 7. We had to boil all of our water before we could drink it. We did have a family that cooked for us because it took so long to fix stuff that we didn't have time to do anything else. My job was to work at the clinic and interpret for the nurses. Except for the medical stuff, they knew that, but I carry on the conversation with them. So it was really interesting, a place I'd wanted to go all my life, and I was glad I had gone, but I was also glad to come home.
Wow. We went to Shiprock on the reservation there, and it is the poverty there is not quite as bad as what you were talking about, but it is
It's there.
it's there. It was quite different than the cushy lifestyle we live right here.
Yes. Because one of the things is dirt floors. All the houses had dirt floors. And the kids would play in them, on all kinds of things. And there'd be chickens and not too many dogs, but some chickens running around. And as a matter of fact, the family we ate with had chickens in the house with them. And if you dropped a piece of rice or something, they were right there to snatch it. But it did help me understand that you could survive in lots of situations that you didn't think you could. So I think that it
Yeah.
made me a better, gave me a better appreciation for where I live now. Even if I'm not a rich person compared to a lot of people, I'm much richer than they are.
Yeah. What is or was the host program that you mentioned in your bio, and how did said program prompt you to reevaluate your opinion about the church?
The host program was established at Camp Nauvoo to host people coming into Nauvoo. This time, the tourists wasn't as big a thing as it is now, but it was a place we offered meals for 50 cents a person, and we never knew how many people that would be. So we made things like spaghetti, which is easy to increase, and we offered campfires for people. We offered to give up tours of this town if they wanted them. What had happened was when I was at Graceland, I took too many sociology classes. And they were talking about how we should do this, and we should do that, and we should do this for people. And the church kept saying, well, yeah, we believe in all that stuff, but I didn't see anything that happening. You gotta remember I was 18, well, 20, I guess, at that point. So I decided if the church wasn't going to do anything, I better go find some place that was. But while I was there, the experiences I had with people and helping them and offering things to them made me decide maybe I was in the right place at that time, and that I really didn't need to leave the church to help people.
Oh, I really like that. That's very interesting. So, what was it like to have a father who was a caretaker of the historical sites? And how did that affect the way you helped write the G7 resolution?
I guess we didn't see them as sacred as some people did because they were always right there. We lived about a block from, 2 blocks from the historic sites, and we played around them. We did all kinds of things there that you wouldn't, well, the Red Brick store wasn't there, so we played in that basement. We would play in there, and we would go over and sit at the visitor center and count the cars and see what states they were from, and nobody made us leave, so we were just. There were three or four of us who were just scrambling around there all the time. We played in the park across from the Mansion House. We played ball there. We played tag, whatever. Some of us made grass houses, when they cut the grass, it was too tall. And I learned a lot. My father learned, probably knew a lot, but he had lots of books to study from about the church and about church history and so on. And he often trained the new 70s that were assigned to Nauvoo. So a lot of things I learned about the church were from him telling us about what he had told somebody else. And so it was very interesting. And so while he's been gone for a long time, it seemed like it was part of me. And so when we had to let that go, it hurt.
It's a beautiful story, and honestly, the end was really sad.
Did you often get like a lot of little history lessons about the place you lived around? Because my dad loves history, and we'll often get like mini lectures about this or the other thing, and
Well, we would, as things changed, well, I should go back farther. I think she was a great aunt who She and her husband began the restoration of the Mansion House back in the 20s, I think. I mean, I didn't know her, but so it's been a part of my life for a long time. And hearing different people's stories, hearing what they knew, what they didn't know, what they found out, and how it was so impressive to them. I mean, to us, they were buildings that we had to help clean and that sort of thing, you know, and we didn't think too much about who lived there very often, except there were lots of stories about unusual sounds in the Nauvoo house. And in the Mansion House, people saw lights at night when nobody was there. So I had a friend that lived a couple blocks from there. And if I got home towards night, then I would run from the bottom of that hill, clear past the Mansion House as fast as I could go, because I did not want to see any lights in that building. So, you know, so that was part of it. I don't know if there was or not. That was the stories, and I wasn't going to look to see. So I don't, I, you know, for me, it was just, I'm not too much into ghosts. I didn't want to see any. So, so yeah, it was an
That's
interesting
funny.
time. I think it made a big difference in how I understood history. You know, that these were just people. They were doing the best they could, but they were people, and they made mistakes, and they did great things, and so on. So, yeah.
So now for the questions from Mr. Kent. You converted into the RLDS Church in senior high, and you were Catholic before then?
Yes.
So, if you're comfortable, would you mind telling us about that?
Well, one of your comments is that was that there's a big difference between the Catholic Church and the RLDS Church or Community of Christ. While that's true for the actual religious practices, but the ability to have a relationship with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit is the same in the Catholic Church or in the RLDS Church. But what drew me to the RLDS Church is the congregation that I was going to. Well, let me back up. You know, I had a girlfriend and she always seemed to be at church. And every time I wanted to do something with her, she had to go to church. And so I decided if I wanted to spend more time with her, I needed to be going to church with her. And so that's what I did. And 10 years later, I married her. Maybe not even 10 years, but I married her. And we've grown up in the church together. We've raised our family in the church. And the congregation that we were at, it was fo they were focused on me and what I needed and how they could help me, not what I could give to them. You know, the thing that pushed me away from the Catholic Church is there was always a handout asking for money and more money and more money. And I do understand there is a need for money, but it seemed to be that that was really the only thing they wanted from me was more, was how much money I could give them. And that is not what I found in the RLDS Church. That's what drew me to the RLDS Church, the fellowship, the friendship, the open and welcoming of the members of the congregation is what drew me there.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about congregation that I grew up into. So I'm definitely an extrovert, and that's one of the best things for me.
So, Mr. Kent, what do you do as caretaker for the Cedar Valley Grove campgrounds?
Anything and everything. I cut grass, I fix windows, I fix doors, I fix buildings, I repair equipment. You think anything that might break in your house, that's what I go fix. And I greet people, I talk to people, I introduce I try and bring our church philosophy and beliefs to people that may not be members of Community of Christ that might be here. I try to share with them what our beliefs and customs and practices are, and try to demonstrate my belief in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to them by the actions that I show them.
That seems like a lot. Do you enjoy this job?
I do. You know, I you know, people talk about blood, sweat, and tears. I literally have my blood and sweat on about everything on this campground. And
Wow.
I've got the scars to prove it.
We know, and you mentioned that Catholicism is very different from Community of Christ Church. What are some ways that they are similar?
The belief in the Trinity, the belief in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, and the sanctity of life, and the early history of the church. You know, that's probably one of the biggest things, you know, is they don't see Joseph Smith as being anything more than just a man. And, you know, I guess in the early days, I didn't either until I started doing more research about the early church, about Joseph Smith, and even from an early skeptical day, some of the things that I read that happened with Joseph Smith clearly tells me he was of God.
So now for the reason that we asked you here today. The G6 and 7 resolutions.
Let's start with G6. Would you summarize this resolution for us?
They are both interrelated with each other, G6 and G7. G6 was primarily focused on the AIP accounts. So let me ask this question. Do either one of you girls have a savings account?
Not at the moment. We're both in
Okay.
high school. Well, yeah,
Okay.
but.
Do you have any money in your billfold or your purse?
Yeah.
Okay, so what would you think if I came up to you and said, "Give me the money you have in your purse. I have things that I have to go pay for, and I'm going to use your money without you having any direction over it."
Well, I mean, if you were demanding it from me, then I'd probably be a little bit upset.
That is basically what we were told was going to happen. We had many people that gave money to their local church, their local congregation, and the church said they would be the trustee of our money. They would put it in a savings plan that would accrue interest, and it would grow in value. And when the historic sites were actually before the historic sites were sold, we found that our AIP accounts, our savings accounts, had been frozen, and we could not take money out of those accounts when we wanted to or needed to. So that's where I liken it to. If you've got money in your billfold, your purse, your pocket, and I say it's mine, give it to me. That is what basically we saw happen with the AIP accounts. I mean, some of the congregations had a sizable amount of money in their account, and they needed and wanted to do things, and they were told, "Nope, can't do it." And what the church also came back and said was, "If we do not achieve the goals we set in the Bridge of Hope, we will take the money in your account to satisfy the goals that we have set for us, for the church, for the retirees, and we will pay you back at some time in the future. No interest. We'll just pay you back what we took." So if they took $100 from you, sometime in the next year, 10 years, 20 years, they would give you $10 back.
So, what is this resolution asking the church to?
This resolution is asking for the church to be cognizant that they are the trustee of savings that came from members, and it was the members' hard-earned money. It's not money that the church made. It's money that was given to the local church, the local congregation, by the individual members for the benefit of their local congregation. You know, I really do believe if the world church had said, "We need this, we need money for this," I really do believe the members of the church at large would have given them the money that they needed, and they wouldn't have had to taking it as they said they would.
So, what was you guys' part in creating this resolution?
Mine and Evelyn's part was to schedule a special Mission Center conference so that everyone could come together and talk about it. And we had one person that was the actual author of the resolution, and we kind of word massaged the resolution. Actually, I put it in all the forms that got sent to the World Church for review and inclusion for this upcoming World Conference. So my part was being this was to be a secretary.
I guess my part was to help get the conference going and listen to the discussion and agree with whatever conference voted.
So, I guess you kind of already did this, but for our listeners, could you please tell us about the process talked about in your resolution?
It all kind of started with the announcement of the sale of the historic properties. And similar to Evelyn, there were many who spent many of their days and a lot of their own money on preserving and keeping those historic sites going. And many of them had a family legacy that was tied to those historic properties. And when those historic properties were sold, there was a lot of pain that was caused in doing that. And that was my part in this. Okay, let me back up a minute here. I call myself a northerner because I live 100 miles north of Nauvoo, and I have nothing personally invested in the historic sites or in Nauvoo. But what I do have time invested in is the people in my mission center. And what I saw was a huge hurt that was caused by many of our members from the Nauvoo area. And the resolution was we need to make sure the church understands this could have been done differently to not cause the pain that was caused. Did I phrase that right, Evelyn?
Yes, I think the only thing I would say is because we think they should have done a common consent, and we believe that people would have agreed to sell them. But it's kind of like having your whole history wiped out in one stroke and nobody told you they were going to do it. So I think the important thing was that the church understands that we would agree to a lot of things they want to have done if they would ask, but they did not ask. And it was so sudden and unknown it was going to happen that it was like a death, really. So part of this resolution, actually both of them, was ask, please ask us. We believe that common consent is important, but we can't have it if you don't ask.
So you mentioned the field stewards being reluctant to put money in the AIP account. Why is that?
I'll go back to my question to you. If you had money in your pocket and I said, "Give it to me," would you put money in your pocket and have more if all I'm going to do is come back and take it away from you?
Definitely not.
So that's the reluctance. If the money that we gave you to hold for us as a trustee, if we don't have access to that and we can't use it when we need to, then why should we give you more?
So, what kinds of organizations do you think will use the system you described in your resolution?
The organization that recognizes that they are a trustee, not the owner.
Okay.
And a trustee means that you guard it and protect it for the owner, just like in the parable of, the master giving the servant so many talents, and the one servant went and used it and increased the talents. Another servant went and hid it and didn't increase the talents that he had. So it's along those lines, in that if the organization needs to understand that they are the trustee, they are responsible for the management and the growing of that account and those monies, but they are not the owner.
Okay. So who's putting the money into the accounts? Is it congregations?
It's the individual people of the congregations that give the money. So like, okay, if you have $10 and you give it to your mom to give to the church, and your mom gives it to the church, or your dad gives it to the church, that's money you gave for the benefit of the congregation.
I see.
The congregation really can't dispose of the money you gave without, they shouldn't not dispose of it without asking if it's okay to use your money for these things.
I see. So,
It's a fine line between possessions and gifts, where I believe everything that I have is a gift from God and it is God's, but much of the money that was given to the congregation was earned by individuals and given by individuals.
true. So,
and they believed that they would have access to it when they needed it, just like you would any savings account, and that didn't happen. It's kind of like, to me, it first of all, I don't know if you know this or not, but the church holds the deeds for all the property that we have that's called Community of Christ. We do not have, we can sell things if we wanted to without their permission. So when they say we're just going to use your money however we want to, then that felt wrong. And we were not happy about it.
So, what do you feel is most important for people to know about this resolution,
Specifically being G6.
Communication with those that gave the money.
So, I suppose now we're talking about G7. Could you summarize the G7 resolution for us?
Let me think now. G7, okay. Let's go back to the analogy I used that you have money in your pocket and I said, give it to me. That's what G7 is about. G7 is the church believed that because it was held by the community of Christ, it was theirs to do with as they pleased and not ask permission to utilize what they had in their possession. If you think back to what I was talking about, is many people gave their personal time, they gave their possessions, and they provided their time, talents, and energy into maintaining the historic properties. And for many of them, it was a family legacy that was tied up in these historic properties. So much of their family was part of the historical sites, and that was torn away from many of them. That was the cause of the hurt, and that was why we wrote these resolutions, was because hurt that was caused was not necessary. It could have been done differently.
Okay. Does Evelyn have anything to add or?
Well, I think it's still going back to we knew the church needed money, but they didn't tell us that's how they were going to get it. And so they didn't ask. It's the same thing. You have the money in your pocket, and Kent comes along and says, I need $10 because I've got to do such and such. Can I get it from you? And you probably would willingly give it to him because whatever he was doing, you thought was important. But when they don't ask, and the reasons they gave for not asking didn't seem very logical, and the fact that they knew about it for 3 years and didn't say anything to us made us worried. What could they do that to our campground? Could they just sell it and not ask us or tell us they were going to? Can they do that to our congregations? They can. They probably won't, but they can. And we're hoping they've learned that if they would ask, we're much more willing to help than just having it snatched away from us.
So were your parts in creating this resolution different from that of G6, or were they just the same?
The same. They were written at the same time and they changed just a little bit, not much, but the cause was the same. The cause was the sale of the historic property and the restriction of being able to utilize money in the AIP accounts and the threat that they would take the money if they needed to. So that caused many to say that's not right. And so what we did in these two resolutions was to confirm that the actions that were taken with the AAP accounts and the sale of the historic sites was that it could have and should have been done differently.
You said in your resolution that the proceeds should stay with the current steward. Who would the steward be?
Okay, the current steward, okay, if you're a member of Congregation XYZ, the money should stay with Congregation XYZ, not be taken for something else, unless Congregation XYZ says, I will gladly give you this money because you need it.
Okay. You also said that there was widespread dissatisfaction concerning the church's focus on money. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, I said there was more widespread, for me, there was more widespread dissatisfaction with money, was more so with the Catholic Church, and that they always had their hand out asking for more. And we're not much different. I mean, as a campground, we're always looking for income. You know, as congregations, a congregation always has some kind of bill to pay, you know, whether it's an electric bill or whether it's the bill to repair the parking lot, or whether it's the bill to keep the electricity on, or whether it's the water bill, or whether it's to buy new hymnals or recarpet the sanctuary. There's always a need for income. You know, there are some things, some of us that have been around in the church for a while have seen several things happen within the church that we just kind of shake our heads and say, we don't believe this happened. And it should not have happened, but yet it's not, trying to think of the right way to express it. There were things that have happened in the past concerning money that could have and should have been done differently. And I think that's how we got to where we were at with the sale of the historic stuff, was the fact that it just kind of built, those transactions kind of build on each other, and it kind of came to a head with the sale of the historic property. Where we thought we had to speak up for all of us, for all of us members, we had to speak up for all of us members to say, you need to look at some way different than what you did.
Do you have anything to add, Miss Evelyn? Or no?
No, I think I've said everything I need to.
Okay.
I don't want to sound like, you know, it's me, mine, 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 mine. It's not. I give many things to this church. I give many things to the congregations. I give many things to my campground. I give many things to the membership in my mission center. And that has been prevalent throughout my whole time in this church, is that the members and the congregations have given many, many times more than what they can. Than what they have. You know, it's like the woman who gave two cents, you know, in her offering. She clearly gave more than what she had.
So, what does this resolution mean to you personally?
If it gets the world church to recognize that they are the trustee, they are the steward, they are not the owner. If they would talk to us, they would get a lot further than if they don't talk to us.
I would agree with that assessment, and it's mostly to bring this to their attention, and maybe it's already done some of that. I don't know, because I know that they've made some changes in the way you can use the AIP accounts that they hadn't up until the last few days, but mostly to remind them, like Kent says, it's not their money, but that we would give it gladly. Most people are willing to give, even sacrifice, to help further the cause of Christ.
You know, when we go back to the Bridge of Hope, I mean the requirement to satisfy the retirement funds, it is a big deal. It really is. Because the people that went to work for the church did so on most of them on a very low income with very low expectation of return. But almost all of us have had to work during our life, and almost all of us have seen our retirement change from something good to something less than what we had. And, maybe had the church started down a different path with retirement programs years ago, when most of us were forced into a different retirement plan, maybe the problem wouldn't have been so bad as it was.
Maybe. So, what do you feel is most important for someone to know about the G7 resolution?
I go back to my comment, communication. They need to talk with us. I have found our membership to be very loving and very giving, and they will give till it hurts if they believe it's necessary.
Yeah. We have one last question for you. This is going to be kind of a fun question. If you could have coffee or tea with anyone alive or dead, who would it be and what would you talk about?
That's a hard question. It really is.
I think I would want to talk to Paul because I didn't agree with a lot of the stuff he said, and I would ask him why he came up with some of that and whether he thought it up or whether he was told to share that with the different churches.
Well, yeah, and the thought process then is very different than the thought process now.
Well, he was a trained rabbi besides, and they have a whole different way they process things. They kind of go in circles, it seems to me, to say what they want to say. And so I'd like him just say it. Don't go into all those circles. Just tell me right out what it is.
There are many people that I would like to meet just because I think they would be a neat person to meet. Like John Wayne, Ronald Reagan.
Oh, yeah.
Those are people that I would like to have met. Jeff Foxworthy is another one that I think would be an interesting one to meet and talk with. To some extent, Elon Musk, with his mentality of wanting to go to Mars.
Yeah. I'd love to talk to him.
Thank you guys for being willing to talk to us about these resolutions.
You're welcome.
Remember, you can give suggestions in the comments, and you can find all our episodes at projectzionpodcast.org under the Say What series. Always remember to
Okay.
put on your full armor of God and walk in peace.
Bye.
Thank you for your time.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Goodbye, girls.
Bye.
Bye.